Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 26. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. I'm excited about this message this morning. I'm excited about what the Lord has laid on my heart. We kind of talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, and we continue on it probably for another week or so. And this morning I want to share with you Holy Spirit, our helper. Holy Spirit, our helper. Verse 26 says this, "But when the Comforter is come," this is Jesus talking, "but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now, part two of last week, I want us to dive into the side of the Holy Spirit that is our helper. It's unique in its way that Jesus says, "I'm going to send you a Comforter." In some translations, I don't know what you're reading from this morning, says helper. So I want us to look at that word in the Greek Hebrew really quickly. I'm not going to spend too much time in that this morning because I've got another word we're going to talk about shortly. But in the Greek Hebrew, that word helper and comforter is translated to parakletos. Parakletos, and when it's broke down, is a word variously translated as helper, comforter, counselor. And it's very important to know that it literally means, not only in the Greek Hebrew, helper, comforter, and all of these great things, but it also means one called alongside. I love that. A called alongside. Jesus says, "I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a helper. He's going to be alongside you. He's going to be a counselor." And the reason for being called the one alongside is not only to give us aid and help, but when we see this translation, we have to see that the help and aid that is granted to us, that is given to us, is meant to be alongside us. Now, I want to say this. This is the question that a lot of people have. This is a question that a lot of people gear toward when they read this verse. How is the Holy Spirit our comforter? How is He our helper? First and foremost, we cannot do anything apart of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Cannot. We can do nothing apart of the Holy Spirit. We cannot deny that the Holy Ghost is our helper, that the Holy Spirit is our helper, and we can do nothing apart the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to share this with you. You cannot be a Christian. Hear me out. You cannot be a Christian and properly read your Bible and interpret it without the Holy Spirit. Try that one more time. I want y'all to catch that. Cannot read the Word of God, properly translate it, or interpret it rather, I'm sorry, apart the Holy Spirit. You cannot seek God's wisdom and knowledge without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He is our helper. He is our aid. He is our counselor. He's our advocate, if you will. And we cannot do nothing apart of the Holy Ghost. We have no hope without the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to dive in a little deeper on this and share a testimony with y'all. It was totally unexpected. Friday night. We go and eat. And where we ate at, right across the street, is a little candy ice cream shop. Everybody wants ice cream, right? Amen? Who doesn't? We go in, and this gentleman said, "I seen y'all eating in the restaurant, and I didn't want to bother you." Never met this guy before a day in my life. But I promise you this, from across that place, I think it was Abby or Carrie or somebody said, "Hey, you need to come here and meet this guy." And I look across the room and I can see the presence of God just resting on him. Have you ever been able to look at somebody and just see that? Just look at them and tell that they are just literally full of the Holy Spirit. And I go over and he begins to pour out things in my life that I've been praying about. He pours out into Carrie's life and Abby's life, things we have all been praying about, things that nobody could possibly know without the Holy Spirit. So apart the Holy Spirit, we have to understand that there are more things in our life than just coming for a feeling. Amen? If you can feel it, you need to know it. And you need to know it before you can feel it. Amen? Here's the thing I want us to take in this morning is this. I've had people pray for me or ask me to pray for them that they would feel the love of God. Absolutely not. That's sad. You should know that God loves you. How do you know that God loves you? You dive into the Word of God. You see it from Genesis to Revelation. His undying love for us. I want to feel something. If you live by feeling, catch this, if you live by feeling, you may say, Brother Tom, I need you to pray for me that I can feel the presence of God. I pray for you. You may feel something. Think it's the presence of God. You go home and you don't feel that feeling anymore. Then you get to looking for Brother Tom again so he can pray for you so you can have another feeling. Feelings are misguided and misleading. Amen? God forbid if we live by feelings and feelings alone. It's not what it says. The Holy Spirit is not just a feeling, it's a knowing that He dwells in us, that we're sealed with that Paracletos promise, an aid, a helper, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate, one that goes before us, one that walks alongside us and says, hold on a minute, you're messing up, get back over here. I need you to stay with me. I need you to seek my face. I need you to know me. I need you to spend a little more time with me. I need you to get on your knees. Let me tell y'all this. There's nothing like an 82-year-old grandmother getting on her arthritic knees, praying for her grandchildren and seeking the Holy Spirit's direction in their life. There's nothing like a mother who stands at the doorway of her children and prays for the Holy Spirit to lead them, guide them, and direct them. There's nothing more challenging in a father's life, in a dad's life, that when he sits down at night that his children don't see him watching TV or playing video games, that they see him in the Word of God seeking the Holy Spirit's direction for his life. This is a topic that I'm passionate about. And this is a topic that I think every Christian in the United States should be passionate about. Because without the Holy Spirit, we have no hope. Romans 15:13 says something so amazing. Remember a while ago I said there was another word I wanted to talk about. Romans 15:13 says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. What? Okay, one more time. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Now, what does that word abound mean? Superbound. To exist in abundance. I would try to pronounce this in the Greek Hebrew, but I would slaughter it, so I'm not going to try it, okay? To superbound, to exist in abundance, to increase, be augmented, to have or possess in great quantity, to capitulate, supplied, followed by with or in, as to abound with provisions, to abound in good things, to have great, and to be great in plenty. That's a lot. Look, I want you to understand this. If we abound with Him, the Holy Spirit is with us. Let me tell you this. The moment you said yes to Jesus, no to the world, you receive something that nobody else around you may have. Now, Tom, you can't say that. I don't know anybody else's heart, so I'm just putting it out there as a blanket statement. Amen? I don't know who in this place knows Jesus. I don't know who doesn't, but I'm going to tell you this. If you don't know Him, you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's bottom line. You may have some sensations every now and then. You may have religion, but you don't have Jesus. You can have Jesus and never have religion. Let me tell you something, and I can get off on a tangent on religion, and I'm not going to, but I'm going to step up on the soapbox for just a minute. Y'all hang with me, okay? Religion is man-made. It's unorthodox. It has no meaning and no backbone. It has no guts and no glory. And apart all of that, it has no Jesus and it has no Holy Spirit. It just has a name that hangs on a sign somewhere that says, this is who we are. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't want to be known as a religion. I want to be known as a guy who is totally head over heels in love with Jesus, filled from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And because when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. That's next week. I'm not going to get too far into next week. I told Waylon them, and I said this, well, I didn't tell just Waylon. I told everybody Wednesday night. It's amazing. And Kerry will tell you this. Years ago when I began in ministry, I said, I will never do a sermon series. They're silly, it's lazy, and it's stupid. Those were my statements, Miss Debbie. It's lazy, silly, and stupid. Then I get into pastoral ministry, and the more I begin to study, the more I begin to dig deeper, you can't get a lot of it into one sermon. Amen? So you got to have a series. And the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart and said, you're going to do what I told you to do, not what you want to do. And I catch myself saying that to the kids a lot. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit that way, hear me out, listen. If we listen to the Holy Spirit that way and say, you know what, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, not what I want to do, our lives would be so much better. We get so wrapped up when we go into the grocery store that we see, and I'm just throwing a name out there, okay? I'm just saying this, just blanket statement. We see Miss Lulu over there, and we walk through the grocery store. Nobody really wants to talk to Miss Lulu because every time somebody talks to Miss Lulu, all she got is a whole bunch of complaining. And you don't want to go talk to Miss Lulu and ask her how her day's been because you'd rather cut your stomach open with a Gensu knife than stand there and hear her complain for 15, 20 minutes. But something that day's different. And you walk over and you're obedient to the Holy Spirit and you say, look, I know life's been hard on you. I know things have been tough. And I know that some things ain't going the way you thought they should go, but I just want to pray for you right here in the middle of this grocery store. In the middle of the grocery store? Absolutely. I don't care who's looking. I don't care who's standing there. When we step out of our comfort zone, and we let Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, and direct us, we see it's no longer about comfort, but it's all about Jesus. How can we make statements that it's all about Jesus if we don't live for it to be all about Jesus? So that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There's no hope without the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our counselor. He is the one that we seek. But when the Comforter is to come, who I will send unto you. Oh man, we could dive into the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to tell you something. I remember as a new baby Christian, somebody had told me one time, they said, you know, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you're going to be a whole lot different. And I always thought of ghosts and Ghostbusters. Amen. I wasn't saved. I was saved then. I was brand new. Didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. And one day I was standing on the deck. I reminisced about this the other night. Our blue healer got out. And Kerry said, I'm going back in. I ain't going to stand out here in the rain and wait on her. I was standing under the awning. And I remember looking across that backyard as that rain just drizzled down. And I said, Lord, this is where You transformed my life at this very spot. I remember standing there and I remember saying, Lord, there's something in me that's different. I know I'm different. I know I'm crazy. I know I'm weird. I own it. I know that I approach things different, Lord, but I know that You have a better plan for me. And I began to raise my hands. And just praise Him. I can't carry a tune in a bucket with Waylon helping. Amen? But I remember standing there, and it wasn't a feeling. It was this sense of understanding and knowing that He was with me. The Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you, and direct you in all of your ways, but you simply have to get out of the way. In chapter 14, 18 through 23, Christ promises disciples that He and the God, the Father, will come and abide with them. Their presence is realized by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The moment you say yes to Jesus and no to the world, the moment you say, Lord, I don't know about everything else, but I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up, and I know that I'm in need of a Savior. I ask You to cleanse me and forgive me. He sends the Holy Spirit, and He starts to wipe that slate away. Nothing you can do, nothing you will do, nothing that you think you can do is going to take that away from you. But sometimes we like to put the Holy Spirit on the back burner. Everybody talks about pastors putting their family on the back burner. Everybody talks about teachers putting their families on back burners. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm more worried about putting the Holy Spirit on the back burner, because without Him, I couldn't lead them. Oftentimes in life, we get focused on the wrong things. We get so focused on all the wrong things that we forget about the Holy Ghost. Because He says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. There's power in our prayers. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this, first and foremost, again, you cannot do anything without the Holy Ghost. Nothing. You can't pump gas. You can't buy groceries, because you can. You can try, but you will be the most miserable person walking around. You ever see people who say, I'm not a Christian, I'm an atheist, and they got a big old smile on their face, and they're walking through Walmart? They're not happy. They think they're happy. They think they know joy. They have all this stuff. Stuff does not bring you happiness. Stuff does not bring the Holy Spirit into your life. Your checking account does not bring the Holy Spirit into your life. I don't care if you tithe $100,000 a year to the church. It is worthless without the Holy Spirit. I don't even know why I'm looking at the notes anymore. There's so much that we do. So many times we fail. But He never fails. His love endures forever. Amen. He is more than a friend. He's more than just something that we talk about. He is the great I Am. I want y'all to know this morning. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth with proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify me. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you start to think heavenly minded, look, you can be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. Did you know that? Come on. Listen to me now. You can be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. What do I mean by that? It's so simple to be so focused on one thing or the other and forget to share the goodness of God. I hear people all the time say, you know, I'm scared to, I don't know the Scripture like I should. I don't know the verses. I don't know how to tell somebody to give their life to Jesus. I don't know the Romans Road. I don't know exactly what to say. Well, when the Holy Spirit is with you and you say, I want You to lead, guide, and direct, when your feet hit the floor every morning and you say, Lord, I'm just asking You to let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct my day. I'm not going to get in the way. And if I try to get in the way, humble me, Lord. Nobody wants to be humbled. Amen. So you learn to listen. And when you begin to listen, things begin to change. And with the Holy Spirit, because He is your helper. Amen. He is your comforter when things are tough. It just comes naturally. The first time, and I'm getting ready to close, the first time I did a evangelism type meeting was on sharing the gospel. And this little lady, she looked at me and she said, "I am not praying for people. I am not going to talk to people." She said, "But I will do my best to listen." I said, "Okay, that's fine." And we're sitting there that night. And next thing you know, I didn't say a word otherwise, just a simple prayer. "Holy Spirit, have your way in her life. Leader, guide her, and direct her." We're standing there that night and I look up and she is over there praying for people. She's over here talking to people. Church is over and she looked at me and she said, "I'm going to get you." I said, "For what?" She said, "I didn't want to do all that." I said, "I didn't have nothing to do with that. You need to take that up with the Holy Spirit. Because when we get out of the way, He has His way." Amen? Because at the end of the day, it is all about Jesus. And again, without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, "Tom, I've never decided to give my life to Jesus. I've never really truly sold out to Him." It is a simple task. Amen? So simple. It's not complicated. And you say, "Well, I've been born again. I've gave my life to Jesus. I've been saved." No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about really just giving Him your life. Saying, "Here, you lead, you guide, you direct. I'm selling out, full surrender." Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him daily. Christianity is not a part-time commitment. Amen? It's an everyday battle because it is war. We don't fight against flesh and blood. So simple. Y'all pray with me. Father God, this morning we come to You and say we love You. Lord, I ask You this morning, Lord, if there's one here that just needs to sell out, Father God. Lord, they may not even know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I ask that You would take care of that right now. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would begin to draw them near. Father God, we ask that You do what only You can do. Lord, we love You and we praise You. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.